Thank you for being here, and I know sometimes giving applause is just a natural thing, but we can applaud the faithfulness of our God this morning, and that's who we're here to honor and glorify. If you take your Bibles this morning, I'd like you to turn to John chapter 5. Handling and delivering the Word of God is an awesome responsibility. It's not just a matter of life and death, it's a matter of eternal life and eternal death. So pray for me this morning that the Lord would use His Word through just an earthen vessel. But I want you to read in John chapter 5 this morning. We're going to read a story about a man who was healed by our Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to focus more so on another group of people in this passage. Let me just make sure that I'm on here. Am I good? All right. I don't think I was on earlier, but we're good. Now let's read here in John chapter 5, verses 1 to 13, and then we'll pray and begin the message. John chapter 5, verses 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And in these lay a great multitude of impotent, sick folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water, for an angel went down at a certain season into the pool, and he troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie, he knew that he had been now a long time in that case. He saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, What man is it that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Let's just begin by opening our service and time in the Word and prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you. We praise you for this time, this opportunity to be in a place, an assembly of the believers. And Lord, as you've given us your Word, Lord, that we would understand that this Word that we hold in our hands is the very Word of God. I pray that you would speak through this message this morning, Lord, that you would illuminate it by your Holy Spirit, Lord, that you would bring conviction, Lord, that we would not leave the same that we came. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. You know, the setting of this miracle was in Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. I had an opportunity to go to Israel just a couple of years ago, and I saw this place here, Pools of Bethesda. But here, we see here, it happened on the Sabbath. And the aftermath, in that aftermath, there was a group of religious Jews that accused this man here that was healed of breaking the Sabbath day. Now, to lay a bit of groundwork here, I want you to understand back in Exodus chapter 20, verse 8, what does the Bible even say about the Sabbath? Well, we know it is one of the Ten Commandments. It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but in the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God, in that thou shalt do any work, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Hallowed it means he made it holy. He set it up differently. He consecrated, he dedicated it for a godly purpose. You know, that word Sabbath is actually derived from the word seven, but it means rest. It literally means rest. And it was designed by God as an intermission, a break. You go to a hockey game and they have an intermission, a couple intermissions, a break. And this intermission, this break, is to end 1 week and begin the next. 6 days of labor, 1 day of rest. Six is the number of man. Seven is the number of completion or perfection, the number of God. Well, you might say, well, we're not required to follow the law for salvation. That's true. Salvation only comes by grace through faith. Faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. But the principle of the Sabbath day, the day of rest, goes back even before the law to creation. It was part of God's original design, even before sin entered in creation, by the way. Genesis chapter 2, verse 2. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day, and he sanctified it, because that in he had rested from all his work which God created and made. You know, if some of you are familiar with history, anyone ever heard of the French Revolution? You know, off with their heads. Yeah. Well, the French Revolution of 1792, they instituted after that the First French Republic. And the First French Republic wanted to be a secular society. So they instituted a French Republic calendar with 10 hours a week, 10 hours a day and 10 days a week, because they wanted to remove any godly influence from society. Let's just say it didn't work. All right. If you try to change, here's the principle. If you try to change God's basic guidelines and structure for his creation, the way he designs it, the way he orders it, what happens is society and life itself becomes unraveled. It ultimately will fail. We see this happens in individual lives. We see this happen in families. We see this happening in our society today. A society begins to unravel and fall apart when we move away from God's order. When society wants to redefine the family and roles between a man and a woman. And then they want to redefine marriage. And now they want to redefine what a man and woman is. To the point today that the individual who won the woman's NCAA swimming championship was actually a man. We see how things continue to unravel when things are not in God's order. And so if God is the creator of everything, and he is, then that creator, the creator, has a purpose, he has a design, and he has a plan for it. And he gave us then, hear this, he gave us the Ten Commandments for this, to help us keep it in the right order, his order. His order is the right order. It's a godly order. So there's the importance of things being in the right order. I don't know if anyone here is into auto mechanics at all. But if you pull a car apart and you don't put it back together in the right order, you might have some difficulties down the road. You think, well, I can just, you know, those are just extra pieces. Well, I know years ago I had to get some brake work done at the mechanic, and they changed the calipers and rotors and put the tires back on. And a few days after I was driving down the road, I heard this wob, like the sound, and I was looking around, and I stopped, and I saw that the lug nuts that hold the tire in were almost loose to falling off. See, what the mechanic failed to do, as some of you may know, is to torque those lug nuts on so they wouldn't fall off. He didn't do things in the right order. In fact, he skipped some orders. And it could have been catastrophic. You know, anybody had a tire fall off on the highway? It's not a fun thing. I haven't yet, and I don't want to experience it. As we look, though, here at our message here, some might say there's so many rules. There's so many laws in the Bible. And many of those rules were and are for the nation of Israel, and they're specific to them. Yet they are profitable to us in this way. They teach us the importance of the holiness of God. The holiness of God and His people. We also know that keeping the laws, those rules, will not save you. They will not give you any grace. Grace only comes through faith. But the law does show us that we need a Savior, because we can't keep the law. The Bible says, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Yet the Ten Commandments, are they still valid today? Are they still needful to keep our lives, our families, our society in a right, godly order? How about this? Have no other God before me. How about make no graven images? How about don't take the name of the Lord God in vain? How about honor thy father and mother? How about thou shalt not kill? Thou shalt not commit adultery? Thou shalt not steal? Thou shalt not lie? Thou shalt not covet? Will those help? Following those, will those help keep our lives, our family, society in the right godly order? But wait, I missed one. I missed one. Quite often the most underrated. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It's indeed one of the Ten Commandments. We can't take it out. It's found in Scripture that one day out of seven is to be set apart, to be made holy. 6 days for the work. One day set aside for rest from work, holy unto God. But we know, as we study our Bible completely and the words of Christ, the Sabbath was not meant to be a burden but a blessing. Jesus confirmed, he said, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. The Sabbath was intended to be a blessing to man, giving him a day of rest from his labor, a day to stop and rest from the work, the toil in creation, and refocus on the goodness and greatness of the Creator. The Sabbath was a gift of God, not a law to ensnare, not a burden to bear. You know, many of these religious Jews at this time, and even today, the scribes and Pharisees, they had distorted the Sabbath and had found a way to reorder it. That's what they did. They reordered it. They made it a burdensome day. They even made the smallest necessities of life difficult. But God had intended it to be the opposite. In fact, what happened was the Sabbath became an object of worship. The Sabbath day became the object of worship and not the Lord of the Sabbath. So, it is still there. It's still an eternal principle. Now, the Ten Commandments, we know they keep our lives, what? And our families, our society in the right godly order. But just because someone distorts God's ways doesn't mean we throw them out altogether, right? And so we need to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. We still need to help to keep our lives in the right godly order. Do you need help to keep your life in the right godly order? God's given us His Word to do that. But since the resurrection of Jesus Christ on the first day of the week now, Sunday, today, is the day that by Christians have been set apart to God, has shifted from the last day to the first day by Christians, and we remember it as the Lord's Day. That principle of one out of seven still remains, a day of rest. And it's part of God's design that he ordained and commanded that mankind should rest one out of seven, that eternal principle. It will still help keep your life. Listen to this. It will still help keep your life in the right godly order. But even more so, it'll help keep your spiritual life in the right godly order. So what is Sunday, our Sabbath, for us? This eternal principle that will help keep our life in the right order. I want to simply state it like this. A rest from the cares of creation to rest in the care of the Creator. A rest from the cares of creation, this world, to rest in the care of the Creator. We don't worship the creation, we worship the Creator. And he gave us a day to rest in his care, to worship him. Where is his care ultimately found, though? The Bible says, for God so loved the world, he cared about us, that he gave his only begotten Son. You know, Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, but God commendeth his love. He showed his care toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, what? Christ died for us. Where is this care found? In the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Sunday being the Lord's day, we take a rest from the cares of creation. We rest in the care of the Creator. And we worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Quite often we're, though, so busy with the cares of creation that we can miss out on the care of the Creator. The care of the Creator found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you ever hate missing out on something? You feel like you missed out on something? Quite often, we miss out on things. Why? Because we're busy or we're occupied, we're focused on something else. You know, in our passage today, we see the Sabbath day. We're going to return back to this in a second here. In John chapter 5, I want you to see here that these religious ones here, the Jews of Jesus' time, they were so busy. They were so busy that they missed who? Jesus. They're so busy, they missed Jesus. They were so filled with so many other things that day that they missed the greatest opportunity and importance for that day. The Holy One of Israel, the Messiah, the one they said they were looking for, the God of creation was in their midst, and they completely missed him. The title of the sermon today and the challenge for us today, of any day of the week, here it is. Don't miss Jesus on Sunday. Of all the days of the week, don't miss Jesus on Sunday. I have three things from the passage. Why do we miss Jesus on Sunday? Why do we miss anything? Because we're too busy. We're too occupied. We're busy with other things. Verse 10, chapter 5, verse 10. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. I want to submit to you, number one, why do we miss Jesus on Sunday? We miss him because we're busy with our own ideas about Sunday. We miss Jesus on Sunday because we're busy with our own ideas about Sunday. The religious Jews, they were more concerned with their own ideas about the Sabbath than what was important, and what was important to them, that they missed Jesus that day. The Jews, they it had become a day when they had been so extreme, they made up rules even beyond God's intention. That carries on today. I remember when I was in Israel, you know, that on the Sabbath, the hotel had two elevators, and one elevator had to be put into Sabbath mode where it just stopped. It automatically went to each floor on the hotel and stopped and opened up at each one. Why? So the Jews didn't have to touch the buttons because that would be at work. You know, I bought a stove years ago for my wife, and it had in there something called Sabbath mode. And it was basically a slow cook mode that basically you could turn it on and it would stay on low and you wouldn't have to touch any buttons. And we think, well, that's that's crazy. But you see, they had their own ideas about the Sabbath. And they missed God's intention for the Sabbath. Even though it is still an important command of the Lord, we have to understand, gave it for our benefit. Why? To keep our lives, to keep our spiritual lives, what? In the right, godly order. For Christians, Sundays is what? It's the Lord's Day. And it ought to be different. It ought to be different than any other day of the week. We can rest from the cares of creation. We can rest in the care of the Creator and be thankful for His care. Not because it's a command that we must follow to keep ourselves saved, but if we neglect the importance of Sunday as the Lord's Day, a day of rest from the worldly concerns, if we don't take it seriously, our Christian lives can end up out of order. It can end out of the right godly order, because what happens is we will miss Jesus on Sunday. You don't want to miss Jesus on Sunday. Be careful that you don't get so busy with the misplaced idea about Sunday and the importance of Sunday that you miss Jesus on Sunday. Sometimes our personal routine, whatever it might be, can even become a religious ritual that we miss Jesus on Sunday. Is that true? It is. It's not just another day, not another day for personal gain. It's just not another day to make money, because if you do, you can miss Jesus on Sunday. I understand some people are involved in essential work, but don't miss Jesus on Sunday. If it's a day that we just get all the other things done that we ran out of time doing the rest of the week, guess what? You can miss Jesus on Sunday. If it's a time off that you just engage in activities, events, hobbies, recreation, games, you can, what? Miss Jesus on Sunday. There's 6 days of the week that we can be filled with the cares of creation, this world, but we should do what we can to follow God's design, His rest that He provides us, to keep our lives in the right godly order. He set it for our benefit, a rest, an intermission. And as believers, as followers, disciples of Christ, on Sundays of all days, we should do our best to take a break as much as possible from the things of this world. Find a day of rest in the Creator. Refocus our hearts. Renew our minds on the Lord Jesus Christ, because we don't want to, what, miss Jesus on Sunday. What can we do to make sure we don't miss Jesus on Sunday? I think we can do best to prepare the night before, Saturday night, knowing tomorrow's the Lord's Day, and I don't want to miss Jesus on Sunday. I'm going to make sure I get to bed early, and I'm going to make sure that I have a good night's rest, and I'm going to make sure my heart and my attitude is prepared, and when I get up, I'm going to dress in a way that I know that I'm not going to be a distraction, and I'm going to dress for the Lord and get to church early enough so when the worship begins of the Lord, that we're not drawing attention to ourselves, because we don't want attention to be on us. We want the attention to be on Jesus, because we don't want to miss Jesus on Sunday, and we don't want anyone else to miss Jesus on Sunday. I know some things sometimes are out of our control. I've got 7 kids, and despite our best efforts, we can prepare all the time, and then one of them's sick or something happens, and there's some things that are out of our control. I understand that. But let's do our best to prepare so we don't miss Jesus on Sunday. Why do we miss Jesus on Sunday? Sometimes we're just busy with our own ideas about Sunday. Don't miss Jesus on Sunday. Number 2, verse 8 and 9 and 10. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and he took up his bed and he walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It's the Sabbath day. It's not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. And you know, this group here of religious Jews, they were more concerned about watching what other people were doing than seeing what Jesus was doing. And you know what? You can miss Jesus on Sunday because, first of all, you're busy with your own ideas about Sunday. But secondly, you can miss Jesus on Sunday because you're busy with what other people are doing. They were busy with what other people were doing. They missed Jesus that day. They were surrounded. They were surrounded, the Bible says. There was a multitude of sick and dying people. But it's obvious that they were not concerned with their needs. It's evidenced by the fact that they didn't even recognize this man was just miraculously healed. They didn't have concern for that. They totally missed it. They were busy judging what they didn't like rather than rejoicing in the healing that Jesus had brought. They missed Jesus that day. They were busy with what other people were doing. You know, when we come to church, are we the people who only point out the problems, but we miss on the great things Jesus can do and has done in the lives around us? If you're busy with what other people are doing, you might miss Jesus on Sunday. You'll miss what Jesus has done. You'll miss what he wants to do for you and for others. Ask yourself that question. Do you miss Jesus on Sunday because you're busy with what others are doing? Concerned, sometimes with only certain people and what they're doing, can cause us to miss Jesus on Sunday. Sometimes Sunday rolls around and we're only concerned with what our family is doing that we miss Jesus on Sunday. We might say, Sunday's a family day. But for believers, it should still be the Lord's day. And if you can spend time with your family, that's great, but don't do that and miss Jesus on Sunday. Maybe we take time on Sunday to catch up on our social media, right? So we can find out what other people are doing. So much that what we miss Jesus on Sunday. Maybe we need to give our phones, our social media rest for Sunday so we don't, what, miss Jesus on Sunday. Perhaps we just think Sunday's for ourselves. We want to relax, read a book, watch our favorite television program, and busy our minds with what imaginary people are doing that we miss who? Jesus on Sunday. Maybe we even come to church. And I'm glad you're here this morning. But if we're busy with the same four friends, you know that saying, us four no more, and what we're all doing and what we did last week that we miss who? Jesus on Sunday. Don't be so focused on a small group, a clique, or whatever it might be of friends that you miss Jesus on Sunday. I know you might say, I'm not a people person. Most of us aren't. But guess what? Jesus is. And don't miss out on how Jesus can use you. He can help you encourage. He can help you strengthen others. Don't miss Jesus on Sunday. Why do we miss Jesus on Sunday? Because we have our own ideas about Sunday, but also because we're busy with what others are doing. And we don't see what he is doing and wants to do for us and what he wants to do for others and he wants to do through us. Don't miss Jesus on Sunday. And lastly, verse 5, 6, and 7. Look in your Bibles. It says, and a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, wilt thou be made whole? And the impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. You see, these religious Jews were religious but lost. They didn't feel they needed Christ because they had their own righteousness. And guess what? You can miss Jesus on Sunday because you're just busy thinking you don't need him. You'll miss Jesus on Sunday if you're busy thinking, I don't really need him that much. You know, this group of individuals, they thought they were good. They thought, I'm healthy. I'm fine. My life's in order. They didn't think they needed anything. So guess what? They missed Jesus that day, didn't they? The impotent man, though, on the other hand, he knew he was powerless on his own, didn't he? After 38 long years, he knew he had nothing and he had no one. He had no one that could help him. He was seeking, he was waiting, he was longing for someone to help him that day. That day when who? Jesus came by. And that day when Jesus came by, it was the most important thing to him. The most important thing to him was to be made whole. Because he knew he was lost. He knew he was powerless. He knew he needed help. He knew he needed the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 6 says, when Jesus saw him lie and knew. You see that? And knew that he had been there a long time. In that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? I want to declare to you by the word of God, Jesus sees you. And he knows your problem. He sees you. When Jesus saw him, Jesus sees you today. And he knows what your problem is. He knows what your need is today. And he will help you with your problem. Because he knows what it is. Yet he still asks the question, wilt thou be made whole? He's asking you this morning, wilt thou be made whole? He knows. He knows you need help. But wilt thou be made whole? Do you really want to be made whole? Complete in him. To be made whole, to be made complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not complete without the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll tell you that. He's our creator, and he is our savior. He's the one that reconciles us, brings us back to God. He's the giver of life. He's the provider of eternal life. He alone is the only one who can take away the shame and penalty that separated me from God. You know what? If you are here today and you can say with me, it's not because of me, but I know that I've received Christ into my life and I answered that question posed by Jesus one day, wilt thou be made whole? And I answered this, yes, Lord. I want to be saved. I want to be made complete in you. I want to be made whole. Let me tell you, though, even as a child of God today, if you're here and you know you're saved, the devil, this world, your own flesh will constantly try to pull you apart, get you out of order, unravel you, throw your life into chaos. Do you realize today, believer, whether you've been saved a year, 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, do you realize how much you still need him? Because if you're busy thinking you don't need him that much anymore, you might what? Miss Jesus on Sunday. Don't miss Jesus on Sunday. He wants to keep your life in the right godly order. He'll hold you. He'll keep you. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. They follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall he any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Do you realize, believer, how much you still need Jesus? His presence, his word, his power. Have you forgotten when he said, wilt thou be made whole? You said, yes. You trusted Christ. He wants to keep you whole. He wants to bring you to become more like him. Sometimes we forget. Sometimes we are forgetful people, and we are. He wants us to take a break each week. He gave it to us, a rest from the cares of what? Creation. To rest in the care of the Creator, provided how? How was this care provided? Through the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that, what? Labor and are heavy laden, I will give you what? Rest. Are you in the rest of the Lord Jesus Christ today? Don't miss Jesus this Sunday. But quite often in pride and self-sufficiency and self-righteousness, we can think, I don't need him that much anymore. Guess what? That will cause you to what? Miss Jesus on Sunday. It was the religious Jews that asked Jesus, why do you eat and drink with the publicans and sinners? And Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. If you think you're fine, if you think there's nothing you need help from the Lord Jesus Christ, then guess what? You'll miss Jesus on Sunday. Don't miss Jesus on Sunday. Do you still believe that you need the Lord Jesus Christ today? You say, you know, I'm concerned about all these other things in the world, and there is, and we do our best to be as healthy as we can be. But the greatest sickness is the sickness of sin that plagues each and every life. And only the Lord Jesus Christ can heal us from that. Why do we miss Jesus on Sunday? Well, sometimes we're just busy with our own ideas about Sunday. Other times we're busy with what other people are doing. But I hope it's not because you're busy thinking you don't need Him. Can you say with me today, I don't want to miss Jesus on Sunday? I have gotten busy with my own ideas about Sunday. I have gotten busy with what other people are doing. I've sadly gotten busy sometimes thinking I don't even need the Lord that much. But say today with me, Lord, I do need You. I need Your rest. Every day, yes, but especially the Lord's Day. The day You gave us each week, a day of rest from the cares of creation. To rest in the care of the Creator. It's time to put our lives, our spiritual lives, back in the right godly order. Stop being so busy with other things that you miss Jesus on Sunday. Let's stand for prayer. Dear Lord, we thank You now and we praise You, Lord, that You love us. You're patient with us. You're merciful, Lord. Your grace is amazing, Lord. It's all sufficient. And Lord, You've gathered us together, and I thank You for everyone that came here this morning desiring something from You, Lord. I believe, and Lord, that You will fulfill each need and each heart. Lord, help us not to become so busy, though, that we miss You and all the busyness any day of the week, but Lord, especially on this day. We need You desperately in this time. And we ask this in Jesus' name.